Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main evening news at 5:30. First, a look at today's main headlines. A meeting regarding the future of Buncrana Community Hospital has heard that the hospital will remain open and that the number of beds will stay at 41. More must be done to protect the 450 jobs on the line at Ulster University. Buncrana is one of three areas in the Midlands and North West to get a new nighttime bus service on a trial basis, and the HSC says the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy. These stories in full, plus more to follow, and Oisin Kelly will have all the latest in sport at 6:15. First in news, a meeting regarding the future of Buncrana Community Hospital has heard that the hospital will remain open and that the number of beds will stay at 41 following concerns that it might drop to 30. Last month saw a protest after it was announced the scheduled renovation work there, initially due to begin last June, would not get underway until the third quarter of this year and would take 18 months to complete. It was not the first time the project had been pushed back. A timeline for having a contractor appointed in August was outlined today. However, Councillor Fionnuam Bradley, who called the meeting, says he believes it's subject to change. The meeting, which included local politicians and community representatives, had been described as hopeful. Councillor Bradley says a further meeting has also been secured.
And I'm absolutely delighted to be able to confirm both things. The very first question on my list, because it's the most pertinent question that the people in Buncrana were asking me, was, is Buncrana Community Hospital closing? I asked that question. I said I wanted a very simple yes or no answer. And they were all completely unambiguous that absolutely not, it is not closing, that the money is there within the capital plan, the 1.4 million, and that they are going to do everything they can to drive the project on and to ensure that there are no further delays. And then further to that, all along they have been saying that after the works were complete, there would be a reduction in beds from 41 to 30. They've given a verbal commitment today that under the new scope of works, the number of beds will remain at 41, which is a very, very welcome development.
Yourself and other councillors were in attendance, and there was TDs, but there was also community representatives. How did they feel leaving the meeting?
I might describe it as positive and hopeful, and I really do want to thank the four ladies who came. They represented their community brilliantly well, and they spoke with such passion because they all either have family members who are residents here or who could avail of respite if the facility was open. So their lived experience was the piece that the HSE wasn't getting up until this point. They see emails coming in from myself and Minister McConlogue and others, and it's all very formal, but they were able to sit down face to face with those ladies today and listen to their lived experience. And for the ladies, I spoke to them immediately after the meeting, and they certainly do feel positive and hopeful, particularly given that we have the follow-up meeting in June.
More must be done to protect the 450 jobs on the line at Ulster University. That's according to Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin, who says she'll bring the issue to the Assembly tomorrow, warning the university is a key part of the North West economy. She says the situation has been building for years, with rising costs and ongoing funder pressures in higher education now putting staff at risk. The economy spokesperson for the SDLP says she doesn't understand how the job cuts align with the planned expansion of an extra 10,000 students at the McGee campus in Derry.
I haven't been able to get a face-to-face with the minister since this announcement has been made. Hopefully tomorrow I will be able to speak to her on the floor of the Assembly. Obviously there's expansion plans for McGee, and it's very difficult to kind of marry up expanding one campus and yet announcing 450 job losses on the other hand, because when you're expanding a campus like McGee, you actually need to employ more people. You need more administrators, you need more lecturers, you need more people looking after the fabric of the university. And so it's very difficult to see how that can be done. So I want a firm commitment by the minister that McGee expansion plans will remain at pace. and I want to understand how she is going to resource that. And so far, I haven't been able to get a clear indication what that annual resourcing, how she will meet those resourcing needs on a year-on-year basis, particularly when we see that Ulster University is under severe financial strains.
Construction on the A5 will not begin this year. The commitment was given by Northern Ireland Infrastructure Minister Liz Kimmins during a meeting with the Ulster Farmers Union. The UFU says its members, including farmers whose lands affected by the project, have been seeking clarity over compulsory purchase and compensation issues linked with the long-delayed scheme. The A5 has been regarded as one of the North's most dangerous roads, with around 60 fatalities recorded on the route since the scheme was first approved in 2007. Three areas in the Midlands and Northwest are getting a new nighttime bus service on a trial basis. The 1-at-1 will operate in Buncrana, Longford and Sligo over the rest of the bank holiday weekends this year. The buses will run at 1 o'clock as part of a project under the Nighttime Economy Pilot Scheme. Route 959 will run from Buncrana to Greencastle via Carndonagh. Fine Gael Senator Manus Boyle says the lack of adequate nighttime transport is a real problem for people in rural areas.
When you talk to business owners and even people trying to get home at night, the lack of a service at night is a big problem. So I think the people of Buncrana are supported 100%, and that's what we need them to do now.
While local councillor Jack Murray says it will bring new people to the area, which is welcome.
Look, this is a fantastic initiative. I'm a proud member of the Nighttime Economy Committee in Buncrana, and one of the main deficits that we had recognised was the ability for people to get transport home after a night out in Buncrana. So full credit to our Nighttime Economy Advisor, Sophie Gallagher, who has identified this and has come up with this solution, secured funding for this solution, which is the 1-at-1 bus, which will run over the next number of bank holiday weekends on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, taking people from Buncrana throughout Inishowen to Clonmany, Carndonagh and eventually to Greencastle. So I would hope that this will help people from all those towns come, enjoy the bank holiday weekends in Buncrana and go home safely after a very, very good night. So I think it's going to be a benefit to our bars, our restaurants and to all those providing a fantastic nighttime economy service in the town of Buncrana.
And do you think this will benefit tourism at all, with people now having an option to go later at night to get to and from Buncrana?
Absolutely. I think this should help people come and make Buncrana an even more attractive destination than it already is. Now that we have this top-class service, look, we've late-night buses going south from Buncrana towards Derry and stopping in between there. Now we'll have, on these specific weekends, transport going to North Inishowen and to different towns and villages. So for all those that may not have come to Buncrana because they didn't have a way home, this now makes it much, much more attractive.
The HSC says the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy again today, with high numbers of people requiring admission. In the last week, 1,143 people attended the ED and 345 were admitted to hospital. This morning, management say there were 12 patients on trolleys in the emergency department, with more patients being accommodated on trolleys in other areas of the hospital. Donald Kavanagh has more.
With all available beds in use at Letterkenny University Hospital, management say patients are facing long waiting times to be admitted from the ED to a bed on a ward. The hospital is advising that patients who attend ED for routine and non-urgent treatment will experience very long waiting times, and people should attend their GP or out-of-hours service in the first instance. For mild illness or non-urgent conditions, today's statement says there are a number of treatment options open, with community pharmacists providing expert advice and over-the-counter treatments for a wide range of minor illnesses. In addition to this expert advice, the HSE says a new service is available which allows pharmacists supply subscription-only medication without the need to see a GP. As always, people who do require emergency care are encouraged to attend the ED, where they will be prioritised. More details on highlandradio.com.
The Taoiseach is calling for the TD who gave a character reference to a convicted sex offender to come forward. It follows reports that an elected representative gave a 40-year-old man who previously was convicted of sexually exploiting a 13-year-old child. Simon Harris says he doesn't know who the TD is, but they should make themselves known.
Firstly, I absolutely do not support and would be highly critical of what we're hearing. But also, I think if people are if people are giving a reference, they should have the courage to put their name to it. So if there is a TD in Dáil Éireann who's done this, they should just tell us who it is.
It's 20 to 6 here on Highland Radio. Osh and Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport after this short break. It's 5:42 here at Highland Radio. Osh and Kelly's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with boxing. Newton Stewart's Jude Galler is through to round two, the last 16, at the World Boxing Cup in Brazil. The Two Castles clubman defeated Kazakhstan's Zansiri Kosarbayev on a split decision result this afternoon. It was a solid start for the Team Ireland fighter against an opponent who medalled at the 2024 with World Youth Championships. Gallagher will be back in ring action on Wednesday afternoon. Cross-channel football, there's a big game at the bottom of the Premier League table tonight. The situation is looking very bleak for Spurs, who just are inside the bottom three and a point from safety. Tonight, that could be more, as West Ham could land a hammer blow in their bid to stay in the top flight. They go away to Crystal Palace looking to create a four-point cushion, though their form has them with just 2-1 from four games. Their boss is Nuno Espirito Santo, and he's calling for his big names to perform again tonight.
Jared, Gree, Tati, Pablo, Callum Wilson, players that rely on individual aspects. Confidence makes a big, big difference. And we expect them to take advantage, like Tati. Hope he continues.
Kickoff time at Selhurst Park is at 8 o'clock. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola says the Premier League title isn't theirs yet, despite a 2-1 victory over the leaders Arsenal yesterday. His side will go top if they win their game in hand at Burnley on Wednesday, but Guardiola's still urging caution.
We are there, but the reality is one. Who's the top of the league? We are not. The goal difference, who's better? They are. So, step by step. But, of course, I said, we got hopes, you know, to still extend the chances to fight until the end.
In Gaelic Games, under the management of Donegal man Mark McHugh, Westmeath produced a sensational display to stun Meath in the Leinster Football Championship yesterday. Four goals proved decisive, with Danny McCartan sealing the win at the death after Meath had battled back from a 10-point deficit. Mark says being written off was a driving factor in their performance.
We love that. Why wouldn't you love that as an underdog going into a game? I think the bookies had us at one day, you know, me that one day on. And, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't give you pressure, because there's, you know, as a county footballer, there's pressure in every game you play, and you should put pressure on yourself to play well. And pressure is a privilege. You know, we're in a very privileged position to be out here today. And yeah, listen, there was different comments made during the week, and we referenced them, and we just figured out if we are able to do the job that we can do at the highest possible level we can do. And you could see lads that towards the end cramping and had fallen down because of the effort they'd given throughout the game. And I just thought we just defended with our lives, and we attacked, and we were clinical as anything up the other end of the field. So Westmeath people coming up to you after the game and them crying, you know, they don't have a huge amount of days like this. I think they've beaten Westmeath or Meath once in their history at championship level, and it's nice to be part of the second one.
Big performance by Westmeath yesterday. There is, of course, a big game coming up next Sunday, with Donegal hosting Down in the last of the Ulster quarter-finals at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. It's been confirmed that Roscommon's Paddy Nealan has been confirmed as the referee for that game, a fixture which will be a sellout. And in the lead-up to the game, Brendan Devaney has taken his DL Debate show on the road this evening, and it will come live from the St Union's Clubhouse as they host their first senior football championship game in over 50 years. Brendan will be joined by Ulster and All-Ireland winners Rory Kavanagh and Ronan McNamee. Plus, he'll also be speaking to members of St Union's ahead of a massive day for the club. That's the DL Debate after the 7 o'clock news right here on Highland this evening. In the meantime, Ulster GAA have confirmed the venues for the following weekend's Ulster Senior Football Championship semi-finals. Derry will play Monaghan at the Box at Athletic Grounds in Armagh on Saturday the 2nd of May at 5 o'clock. Now, should Donegal progress to the last four with victory against Down, if they are to meet Armagh in the semi-final, that game will be played in Clonus on Sunday the 3rd of May at 4 o'clock. However, if Fermanagh, under the guidance of Declan Bonner, were to pull off a shock against the Orchard County, the Donegal-Fermanagh game will be played at Kingspan Breffni Park in Cavan. The final, of course, is penciled in for Sunday the 17th of May. To hurling, 14-man Donegal lost by 5 points to a highly fancied Kerry side in Tralee on Sunday in what was their second game in the Christy Ring Cup. Nevertheless, Donegal manager Mickey McCann was encouraged by how his side played in Tralee yesterday.
It's nice to see that we're up at that level. You know, that Kerry team's in one Division 1B next year, which is up for the Waterfords and teams like that. As I say, it's all about getting moving forward, us getting better every year and try and move things forward, and we have. But look, we'll be hoping that we can try get on the final now if we can. But number one, if we get another victory, we're safe in the competition, number one, and then push on if we can for the top end of the table.
To cricket, following an urgent meeting of the North West Cricket Union Grounds Committee, it's been decided to postpone the opening weekend of fixtures in the Senior Premier League 1 and 2 sections. Sustained rainfall has left many clubs in the region unable to complete essential pitch preparations. The league have now put back all top flight scheduled games from this weekend, that's Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of April, until later in the year, Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Finally in snooker, 19-year-old Stan Mooy leads Kieran Wilson as he looks to set up a second round showdown with Mark Allen at the World Championships. He's 6-3 ahead at the Crucible, leading the 2024 world champion, with play set to resume at 7 p.m. this evening. Another former world champion is also in action. John Higgins leads Ali Carter 8-6. That's your sport, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Oisin. Donegal Minister of State Charlie McConnellogue has reaffirmed his commitment to delivering a new swimming pool and leisure centre in Buncrana. Speaking after the publication of the Swimming Facilities Gap Analysis Report by Swim Ireland, which highlighted a shortage of facilities nationwide, he says there's a strong demand for pool access the current infrastructure cannot meet. €2 million was allocated last November to progress the detailed design of the Buncrana project, with plans to move to tender once that phase is complete. Minister McConnellogue says he remains fully committed to seeing the project delivered for the people of Inishowen, who've been without a pool since 2015.
As Minister for Sport, we're seeing significant investment in clubs right across the country, and in particular in my own county, working with clubs. One of the key priorities I have is to continue the work we're doing in terms of stepping out the development of a new swimming pool for Buncrana. Just a couple of months ago, I secured €2 million to continue and complete the detailed design and to get to pre-tender stage for the pool, and also to pay for the costs that have been undertaken and outlay so far that Donegal County Council have had. Moving on from that then, I'm committed to ensuring that we step that out further to ensure that the full funding requirement from a government point of view is delivered upon, obviously working as well with the co-funding requirement that is going to need to be Donegal County Council. This is a key priority of mine. As Minister of Sport, I've stepped it out as quickly as it can be stepped out so far in terms of making sure that the funding that's needed to get the project to the next stage, which is a tender stage, that is now progressing. That will take a number of more months, and then I'll work with all Donegal County Council then, and indeed the local community, in terms of securing that additional funding from the government through my own department, as well as from Donegal County Council through their co-funding element, to make sure that we can see a new pool built in Buncrana for the people of Inishowen to be able to use as quickly as we possibly can.
Public toilets in Remelton have been repeatedly targeted in recent weeks, with further significant vandalism reported yesterday. Damage to both the men and women's facilities included broken sinks and door locks. The toilets have since been repaired and reopened, but Donegal County Council has reduced opening hours, with facilities now closing at 5 o'clock daily. Councillor Park McGarvey explains the severity of the damage, which now impacted the opening hours of the facility.
Very bad now. The doors, the sinks, the locks has been bust, and I suppose we just wanted to highlight it and try and stomp out this vandalism, because it's a great facility in Remelton, mm-hmm. and I suppose we've been working towards getting funding to upgrade the facility in recent months through the Donegal County Council Environment section. And I suppose this toilet is actually managed by the council itself, so I suppose Remelton is lucky that that is actually managed by the council and a member of staff. And unfortunately, the member of staff came on this yesterday evening, and just, I suppose, he's had enough, and I suppose we want it to be stomped out. And the guards have been contacted, so unfortunate that that has come to this, but the toilets have been made operational again today, they're not fully functional.
And the other issue now is the opening times have been reduced, and presumably the concern is a lot of this vandalism is happening at night, so the toilets are now going to close at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, yeah, and I suppose the toilets are providing a service to the workmen there. There's great works going on around Melton there, the regeneration, and there's a group of contractors there, and I suppose they're using it, and it's unfortunately now that we have to close them at 5 p.m. until we try and stop this.
British Prime Minister Keir Starmer is being accused of lying to the House of Commons. He's been taking questions on the botched appointment of Peter Mandelson as an ambassador after it emerged Mr. Mandelson failed security clearance. Keir Starmer's position as PM is in question, but he insists it was civil servants who failed in their duties to pass information about the former MP to politicians. Reform MP Lee Anderson says he doesn't believe the British Prime Minister didn't know his appointment had failed a security review.
The MPs on this side of the House don't believe him. His own gullible backbenchers don't believe him. So does the Prime Minister agree with me? He's been lying.
Sorry, we don't use those words, and I'm sure the members withdrawn it.
Mr. Speaker, I have the greatest respect for you and your office, but I will not withdraw. That man couldn't lie straight in bed.
The order.
Looking now to the weather forecast, mainly dry today with clear spells and just a slight chance of a light shower. Highest temperatures of 12 to 14 in light to moderate easterly breezes. It'll continue dry for most of tonight with long clear spells, though a few scattered showers will feed in from the east through the night. To conclude this evening's news, a look back at today's main headlines. A meeting regarding the future of Buncrana Community Hospital has heard that the hospital will remain open and that the number of beds will stay at 41 following concerns that it might drop to 30. Last month saw a protest after it was announced that scheduled renovation work there, initially due to begin last June, would not get underway until the third quarter of this year and would take 18 months to complete. A timeline of having a contractor appointed in August was outlined by the HSE today. However, Councillor Fionnuam Bradley, who called the meeting, says he believes that could be subject to change. Construction on the A5 will not begin this year. The commitment was given by the Northern Ireland Infrastructure Minister Liz Kimmins during a meeting with the Ulster Farmers Union. The UFU says its members, including farmers whose lands affected by the project, have been seeking clarity over the compulsory purchase and compensation issues linked to the long-delayed scheme. The A5 has been regarded as one of the North's most dangerous roads, with around 60 fatalities recorded on the route since the scheme was first approved in 2007. More must be done to protect the 450 jobs on the line at Ulster University. It's according to Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin, who says she'll bring the issue to the Assembly tomorrow, warning that the university is a key part of the Northwest economy. She says the situation has been building for years, and with rising costs and ongoing funding pressures in higher education now putting staff at risk. And finally, three areas in the Midlands Northwest are going to get a new nighttime bus service on a trial basis. The 1 at 1 will operate in Buncrana, Longford and Sligo over the rest of the bank holiday weekends this year. Buses will run at 1 a.m. as part of the project under the Nighttime Economy Pilot Scheme. Route 959 will run from Buncrana to Greencastle via Carndonagh. That's all for now from the newsroom. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock. The obituary notices this Monday evening, April 20th. The death has occurred of Seamus Campbell Kilcar, reposing privately at his family home this evening. Wake tomorrow and Wednesday from 11 o'clock, with rosary both nights at 9 p.m. Funeral mass on Thursday in St. Cartha's Church Kilcar at 12 noon, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. Funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of Cathal McGinley, Drumdutton, Carrigart. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Letterkenny, at 6 o'clock this evening. His remains will repose at his home today and tomorrow. House private for family, friends and neighbour, with family time only on the morning of the funeral. Cathal's funeral mass will take place on Wednesday at 12 noon in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Seamus Gallagher funeral director. The death has occurred of Bridget Campbell, Harbourview Drive, Kellybegs. Remains are reposing at her residence today. Funeral Mass tomorrow in St Mary of the Visitation Church, Kellybegs, at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed live at mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Kellybegs Community Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Catherine Ormston, née McLaughlin, Hawthorne Hill, Newton Cunningham. Catherine's remains will repose in her family home in Main Street, Newton Cunningham, today until 10 o'clock and tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning for Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Northwest Cancer Centre, Alt McGelvin Hospital, Derry, care of any family member or Charlie McLafferty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Anne Carlin, née Watson, Blue Ball St Johnston, and formerly of Glasmullen Carrigans. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Bathan's Church, St Johnston, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley's Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of John Gerald Devine Moore, 127 Sleeve Boy Road, Craigban, County Derry, reposing at his late home. Family time from 10 o'clock, funeral leaving his home tomorrow at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Joseph's Church, Craigban. Interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, in lieu to the MS Society, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.